What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture, this Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. This week, WLK Sue Henry speaks with Luzerne County Coroner Dion Fernandez on the large number of cocaine overdose deaths in Luzerne County, and he discusses his own battle with drug addiction. I'll speak with Gus Fahey from Valley in Motion about a series of Fall at the Furnace events coming up at the Scranton Iron Furnaces this month and in October. I'll also speak with Hannah Wesolowski from NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, about the 988 suicide hotline for anyone struggling with mental illness. And I'll speak with Jessica Britton and Alicia Hoffman-Mirilovich from In This Together NEPA and Action Together NEPA on their political activism efforts for the midterm election cycle. It's all coming up. Special Edition gets started right now.
We have in our studio Luzerne County Coroner Dion Fernandez, and he said it's the first time he's ever been here.
It is, yes.
So we welcome you today, Dion, for a discussion about addiction in northeastern Pennsylvania and for your personal take on it. The most important thing is something that I've been hearing about, so I did call you today, and that is when people are buying drugs locally, and we realize that, you know, buying drugs off street dealers is illegal, but that doesn't stop people. That right now there is a danger to individuals in Luzerne County because there have been a couple of deaths recently of young people, and it's very tragic.
Yes, we've been seeing a spike in cocaine and fentanyl overdoses in the last, like, 3 months.
And these overdoses, obviously you're the coroner, so they're being reported to you. They're killing people.
Correct, yes.
And these are people who it could be the first time ever you take drugs. It could be your millionth time. It really doesn't matter. And you told me that cocaine in particular is making a comeback with people.
The landscape of drugs change, obviously, throughout time. So back in, of course, our early 2000s, mid-2000s, heroin was quite the topic, right? That was the big street drug then. Where now the landscape has kind of changed. We're into methamphetamine is very, very common now. That's big throughout, not just in Luzerne County, but all over our region. And powder cocaine has now been starting to make a comeback.
Any reason why?
That I can't answer, but we're definitely seeing spikes in the usage. Like I said, we've had that mixture of the cocaine fentanyl and also just a couple of regular cocaine overdose deaths.
And they've been fairly recent in the last couple of months.
Yes.
Now, in that situation, people often look for a high that they've never had before, and you told me that some people actually look for drugs that have fentanyl in them.
Yes. Obviously, we know fentanyl is a very, very dangerous drug. Even it can be used through your skin. You can absorb it. You really have to be careful with the stuff. Just a little bit is enough to kill somebody very quickly. And that's kind of where we're at now. We're just seeing a lot of those people look, I guess, for a good high, and they're going out thinking they're, you know, looking for the most dangerous drug. It's almost like playing Russian roulette because, you know, you're taking this drug and it's a 50-50 chance, which is you know, quite astonishing to me that people would put themselves at that risk, but some do. Yeah.
And of course, it's not detectable. There are those fentanyl strips that I think are available, and we had a small conversation about Narcan distribution has become kind of common in northeastern Pennsylvania due to the situation with heroin. Can you be revived using Narcan if you have a fentanyl over? I mean, if somebody sees somebody overdosing and they think, well, I really don't know, would it hurt them to possibly intervene in that way?
So, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, yes, Narcan is readily available, you know, all over the place, really. It's actually given out for free through some organizations and clinics and, you know, some municipalities and different things have that. But sometimes the amount of fentanyl is so high that the Narcan would not reverse even that overdose.
And so also there are fentanyl test strips, to my understanding, that are available.
Yes, there are test strips available. Now, whether they're 100% accurate or even accurate at that point, I have no idea.
I would really like to see some advocacy locally to have those made readily available for people because, man, I know that sometimes people feel in life like they've got nothing left to lose and they're chasing a high. But at the same time, there are other people who are probably just casual drug users. And oftentimes we have young people, and we've talked to the Wyoming County District Attorney Joe Peters about this, where they're buying what they think is Xanax or something else, and it's also laced.
Correct. Yes. So they're mimicking basically pain pills. They're mimicking Xanax or Xanny bars, where people think that they're buying, again, illegally buying Xanny bars or some kind of oxycodone or something, and here it winds up being a fentanyl pill, and they're overdosing and dying.
This is the coroner of Luzerne County, Dion Fernandez, who is joining us on WILK today to just talk about some of the things that his office is seeing in northeastern Pennsylvania. And I wanted you to be aware of his message that right now there have been individuals who have overdosed and died buying street cocaine. And again, we understand, you know, there are things that are illegal. Obviously, people shouldn't be touching them. But DM, when you have to go to somebody's house and tell them that their child has passed away, it doesn't matter at that point to you, does it?
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's one of these things where it is part of what you have to do, but and that, you know, it doesn't matter. It's immaterial to parents who grieve how this happened.
It is. And, you know, we see parents react, of course, all different ways. Some are shocked that their kid was using drugs, you know, they weren't aware. And then we get some people who are aware, and their reaction is we've been waiting for this call or waiting for the knock at the door because their child or loved one or husband or whoever may be in that game has been in it so long and running around doing it, they were just waiting for that notification to be made to them.
And this is not just young people, by the way. This is professional people. This is people of all sorts.
Everybody. We have all ages. You know, from, you know, obviously it ranks from homelessness to mansions. There's not a discrimination on, you know, who uses or who goes and buys and who passes away from it, no.
In terms of overdose deaths this year, do you know how many there were?
So we're confirmed at 35 right now. We have a lot that are out pending toxicology results. 11 of them are, in the last couple of months, cocaine and fentanyl.
And you have more that where you don't have a determination yet of what happened.
That is correct. So we have some that were methamphetamine overdoses, and we have a lot that fentanyl was used with, like, prescription medication and some mixtures.
And we know at some points there has been an attempt to prosecute people who deliver these drugs to individuals. Have you been part of any of those types of investigations?
Yes, several. So the district attorney's office, the county detectives and drug task force, and of course your local police departments. They're very hard investigations. It comes down to building a really, you know, strict timeline and a lot of different things they need to prosecute the case. Those guys are out there relentlessly every day in all of these cases looking at, you know, cell phones and electronics and interviewing people. I mean, they're out there beating the streets looking to, you know, find out where it's coming from and trying to stop it.
Absolutely. And I didn't want to move into your post on Facebook today, and it's really the reason I reached out to you, although I had this topic in mind as well. And I'm really proud of you. I've known you for a couple of years, and you are an advocate for recovery. Because it's personal to you.
It is, yes.
So talk about what you put up today and why you're open about what you've been through.
So I think it's important that people are open about it because I always go back to, again, I go back to it affects everybody, every family. I think that everybody listening, and I'm sure everybody out there, we know somebody who's has a family member. We have a friend, we have acquaintances, or we know somebody who's battling addiction or dealing or in recovery that are doing good things. So I think it's important that, like, today marks my 6 years for me. So it is a personal thing. And I think people need to be aware that there is a lot of help and support out there from all different angles. And I put on there that my door is always open because it always is. So I've had the opportunity throughout the last 6 years to help people along the way, giving back to what I feel is important.
And as a professional, it just goes to show that addiction does not discriminate. Like we talked about, you could be young, you could be old, you could be a professional, you could be blue collar, you could be almost anybody. You could be a first responder, you could be an athlete. Addiction touches every single person without discrimination.
Yep, there are no boundaries.
And that's something that sometimes we forget. And if there's somebody in our family that is going through it, you know, we feel a sense of shame and helplessness. But I think by you actually saying, and I respect people who decide to keep this anonymous. I understand them too. But you've decided to be upfront about it. So when did you reach that point on August the 31st of what,
2020,
in the pandemic?
Yeah.
Right. Of all things. What made you realize that that was the day?
So an incident.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now? And whatever the heck Hyrox is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Bellassai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Bellassai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the Heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Bellassai wherever you get your podcasts.
Took place with me where, you know, I say everybody hits a different rock bottom. Well, I hit my rock bottom. So it was time for me to go get help. It was something that was obviously brought up to me several times years prior, but of course, you know, we never want to hear that, right? So because we're self-centered, we ourselves get in the way, let's put it that way. So and then I decided to go and get help, the help that I needed. So I reached out to a couple of great friends. And, of course, my wife was with me the whole way. And I'll say their names. I mean, Kelly and Mike Ankenbrand. Mike drove me up there. Kelly got me in through a guy from Scranton, John Knowles, who was a wonderful man, does a lot for people all over the whole Northeast region. And I went into Brookdale Recovery Center in the Poconos.
Was it a long ride to Brookdale or?
Long ride. Yeah, it was.
Gives you time to think.
Yeah, definitely.
And these programs, they have a methodology that they use in order to help people who ask. And, you know, Dion, that agreeing to go is such a big moment for people because you're stepping into territory that you don't know. When you're in active addiction, you understand all that, right? So it's like a comfort. I know it's weird. It's a comfort level to be an addict. But then you're trying to move into another realm where you're scared.
Oh, most definitely. I never went to a recovery. Now, I got there and you heard stories about things being like militant and different places were different. But I will say that Brookdale has a fascinating program. And there was nothing that was forced on you. Their methodology, like you said, worked for me. And the way they ease you into things and the way their program runs, it was top notch.
It's always great to hear a lot of people in those recovery settings were in your shoes.
Yes. Everybody that's employed at Brookdale either is in recovery or one of their family members is either in recovery or still out there, you know, running around, you know, in battling addiction.
And that's, I mean, when we hear stories of people who are like ourselves and then we can apply them to our own lives, it's like opening your eyes for the very first time in certain situations.
It is, definitely, yes.
And so you spent that time there. And you're obviously still on the path here. Mm-hmm. How hard was it to leave there, come home and continue? And recovery is an ongoing process. It's not like a light switch. It's not on and off. It's every single day. How hard was it for you to kind of reacclimate after that?
So after 28 days at Brookdale, I went to a 2.5-week post-op program like down outside of Philadelphia. And then I came home. But coming home with what I had going on and everything else in general, it was a while before I was able to acclimate and you know, settle into things again.
It is very much of an adjustment process, and everybody handles it differently. And to emphasize again, Dion, a lot of people do this with the cloak of anonymity, which is fine. And I respect those programs. You are public about it. That's the reason why I thought we could have a talk about it today. And you say that your door is always open to other people. By having an open door policy to other people and being public about it, how many times have people said to you, Dion, I have a daughter, I have a son, I have a grandparent, I have a whatever, and I'd like some operating advice? How often has that happened to you?
A lot more than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which shows kind of our commonality in this topic, which is almost everybody we know has a loved one who is either actively in some sort of addiction or trying to recover. For people who won't approach you and are just listening, but they're listening very closely because they're looking for something, some hope, some way to approach this. So what kind of advice can you offer people?
Help is out there, all different kinds of help. You don't have to check yourself into a facility. There's you know, outpatient programs. There's meetings everywhere. There's apps to check where meetings are. There's people to talk to. Reach out to a local church. So, you know, anybody, someone will point you in the right direction. And to have a conversation with somebody is always good. Reach out. I encourage people to do that because if you don't, you know, things only unfortunately get worse for you.
And if there's always this person in the middle who kind of might be the whisperer, you know, the person who is like, hey, will you listen to me as I tell you something? If you're the intermediary and you're not necessarily the person who's in an active addiction, what do you recommend for the person in the middle?
They could reach out, because reaching out for them too, I always say the families of addicts, whether it's somebody in recovery or somebody still actively using, they may need help too. I mean, you think about the road for them is not easy, right? So, you know, sometimes they become victims of their own family. You know, more, you know, people steal to get drugs. People do things that, you know, so you have all different issues that arise from there. So they need help also.
And I agree. And there, by the way, there are programs for that. So
yes.
People, if you are the person who sits in the middle, know that there are programs for you where you can go to them, because sometimes those individuals are thrust into a world of utter insanity. And guess what? It makes them insane.
Yeah, I agree with you. Ask my wife. I mean, she was thrusted, you know, and she stood by me and still does. But I mean, it's a process, and, you know, to go and deal with what I had to deal with from not just the addiction side of it, but from the issue that I had, there was a lot going on, you know, and some people would get up and just walk away, you know. She didn't, thank God.
She's a credit then, because a lot of people would just say, you know what, this is like a circus that you've put me in and I can't handle it. But there are also programs for people like your wife and others, parents, where if you have a child that's in active addiction, there are ways to cope. And a lot of people just do this because they want to help. They don't want any money. They don't want anything. They just want to help.
Correct.
Yeah. It was great to have you here today.
I thank you for having me.
Yeah. It was it's an important discussion on a couple of different levels, and we all tied them in today. So I congratulate you, and I look forward to August 31st of 2027, when it could be Lucky 7.
That makes two of us.
Coming up next on Special Edition, I'll speak with Gus Fahey from Valley in Motion about a series of Fall at the Furnace events coming up at the Scranton Iron Furnaces during the month of September and early October. And I'll speak with Hannah Weselowski from NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Health, about the 988 suicide hotline for anyone struggling with mental illness. It's all coming up when Special Edition continues. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest is Gus Fahey from Valley in Motion, here to talk about Fall at the Furnaces. Now, summer's not even over with, although weather-wise, it's kind of making the change, so it's definitely right around the corner. Fall at the Furnaces at the Scranton Ironworks. Tell us about that.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Fall at the Furnaces is this incredible series of art and music shows that are staged at the Scranton Iron Furnaces, this central part of it.
It's not far from where I live, so I mean, I could walk down to it, because sometimes parking might get a little tight, but it's going to be a great event. I've seen other things going on there. And
it's amazing, Brian. A lot of people can walk to it, and then also a lot of people don't even know it's there. It's sort of in this dead zone between South Scranton and downtown Scranton.
Exactly. You can see it from the highway, kind of, as you're getting off the Biden Expressway at Cedar Avenue. But it's just people go by it, and they don't even know
it's there.
Right.
And yet it's this incredible space with this incredible history that really speaks to our immigrant past.
Yep.
And really could be part of our future as well.
Sure. I mean, we've seen so many places, and Scranton has joined them as well with the repurposing older buildings, you know, and giving them a new purpose for the future.
So that's what this program is about. It's about activating this space that's already there, the Scranton Iron Furnaces, and having these four terrific shows that are out there in September and October.
Okay, I'll take them one at a time now. The first one is coming up on September 12th. It's called the Good Things Are Happening Fest. Tell us about that.
Well, it's about celebrating together. It's about great music, great art, just hanging out with your friends. And it's an all-day program on September 12th. And it was organized by a guy that said, hey, good things are happening in northeastern Pennsylvania, and we should celebrate it. And that's the kind of attitude that that we appreciate and that we want to promote at Valley in Motion.
This is a special edition. I'm Brian Hears, here with Gus Fahey from Valley in Motion, talking about the Fall at the Furnaces, a series of four different events. The first one, September 12th, Good Things Are Happening. Can you tell us who's going to be involved in the Good Things Are Happening event?
Sure. There's a bunch of bands that are there.
Right.
You go to goodthingsfestpa.com to see the lineup, and that's where you can get your tickets. But yeah, it's a whole day music festival.
Yeah, it gets underway at 12 noon. Mm-hmm. And we'll go ahead to Saturday, September 19th, the Scranton Shakespeare Festival, September Serenades.
Yeah, a bunch of Broadway musicals that are going to be sung, and there's an orchestra there. So it's meant to be a really fun, family-friendly event, something that everybody can sort of get sing along to. You know the tunes. Fun and exciting, and it's bringing Broadway to the Scranton Iron Furnace.
If you're a friend of the Bard, this is the event you want to go to. Thursday and Friday, the Scranton Fringe Festival launch event. That's a big deal.
Yeah, Scranton Fringe is such an important part of our community, and this they have 10 days worth of events, and they're kicking them off at the Scranton Iron Furnaces. So Thursday and Friday night, which includes this massive 3D projection, art projection against the Scranton Iron Furnaces. So the Scranton Iron Furnaces are magnificent enough, and there's going to be this 3D show that's going to be projected on them. So that's going to be pretty awesome.
And that's happening Thursday, October.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
First, Friday, October 2nd, 5 to 10 p.m. on Thursday, 5 to 9 p.m. on Friday, and it's going to be a great event.
Yeah, it kicks off the whole Scranton Fringe, you know, all of the performances that are related to Scranton.
Okay. I was wondering, now, is there going to be an iron pour at any of these particular events?
No, there's not. The iron pour happens at Arts on Fire,
okay,
which is usually in June.
Right. It's a special edition. I'm Brian Hughes here with Gus Fahey from Valley in Motion. Now, the next event that's coming up, that's happening Saturday, October 10th, is the Anthracite Heritage Museum's October Festival.
Yeah, this is a new kind of event, looking at sort of oddities. And so there's a bunch of new restaurants around town that are dealing with just sort of the strange of our community. And so musicians, artists, and performers that are sort of under this like oddities theme. But since it's in October, it's going to be Oddtober, and there's going to be an Oktoberfest sort of vibe to it as well.
Sounds like a carryover, a little bit of the Fringe Festival in some respects.
It is, yeah. I think there's some similarities there, yeah.
All right. So the Anthracite Heritage Museum is pretty amazing itself. You know, the whole history of coal mining in northeastern Pennsylvania, I'm sure that's going to be pretty much the main theme of that event.
Yeah, and they are the ones that run the Scranton Iron Furnace. And so if you want to find out about more of the Oktoberfest or other things that are going on at Anthracite Heritage Museum, it's anthracitemuseum.com.
All right. Gus, anything else you're working on for the future past the Fall at the Furnaces?
Well, at Valley in Motion, we're always trying to keep things going. So we have a Creative Communities project that we're doing in Carbondale and Forest City, painting murals, building sculptures, trying to get people outdoors, trying to get people that are outdoors already into the main streets of Carbondale and Forest City. We have a walking club every Saturday that meets at Connell Park in Scranton,
right,
at 10 a.m. every Saturday. So we've always got things and events that are going on. Valleyinmotion.org is where you can go to see these four events at Fall in the Furnaces and other things that are going on.
So you take the motion seriously in your Valley in Motion. I know you definitely do.
We certainly do. And it's the kind of thing where we want people to be active, not only physically active, to be active in your community too. So that's what's needed to keep our community strong. To have a positive attitude about where you live, to love where you live, to appreciate the history, to enjoy all those things that makes our community special. And you give your time and your energy and your imagination to your community, we're all going to thrive.
Well, you are definitely a spark behind the imagination and the giving aspect of Northeastern Pennsylvania. Once again, it's Fall at the Furnaces, September 12th, Good Things Are Happening Fest, September 19th, Scranton Shakes September Serenades, a little bit of Shakespeare, the Scranton Fringe Festival kickoff, that's happening October 1st and 2nd, and on October 10th, as we mentioned, the Anthracite Heritage Museum's Oddtoberfest. Anything else you want to tell us about this we might not have covered?
I really appreciate you having me here, Brian. Thanks so much.
Not a problem. Always great to have you here. Gus Fahey from Valley in Motion, Fall at the Furnaces events for not exactly consecutive weekends, but I'd say about four of the next five weekends coming up after Labor Day weekend. And I appreciate you joining us here and sharing this with us on Special Edition.
This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest this morning has Hannah Wesolowski, Chief Advocacy Officer for the National Alliance on Mental Health, here to talk about the 988 suicide number. And 988 Day is coming up on September 8th. So tell us all about the 988 suicide crisis line.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for having me. 988 is such an important resource, one that too many people don't know about. It's a nationwide lifeline that's available 24/7. It's free. It's confidential. And it's for people to call when they're having thoughts of suicide or they're in crisis or they know somebody who is struggling. But it's also much more than that. It's a resource for anyone who's dealing with a difficult period in their life. You don't have to be in crisis to reach out to 988. And that's why September Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, as well as 988 Day on September 8th, we're trying to make sure that more Americans are aware of this resource so that they can spread the word and also they know where to reach for help.
And that's a very important resource because there are a lot of people out there that are fighting silent battles that they probably don't let anyone else in on what it is that they're facing. So they need some sort of an outlet to talk things out and hopefully not even consider the idea of suicide.
Absolutely. Just in the last month, 15,000 people in the state of Pennsylvania alone reached out to 988. So we know there's a need, but we also know that less than 3 in 10 people even know what 988 is. So we have a lot of work to do and a lot more people to reach. And the folks who answer 988 calls are amazing. They're trained crisis counselors who offer a truly compassionate response and connect you to the resources available in your community, because we want people to get well and we want them to stay well.
This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes here with Hannah Wesolowski, Chief Advocacy Officer for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And we're talking about the 988 Suicide in Crisis Lifeline. Now, Hannah, how long has 988 been in existence?
So 988 launched nationwide in 2022, and in the 4+ years that it's been around, 26 million Americans have reached out for help. So we know there's a significant need, but we also know there's a lot more people to reach.
Now, did this come about as the result of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Actually, no. Interestingly, the effort to create 988 preceded COVID. There was a strong desire to make sure that when people were struggling, they didn't have to remember a 10-digit phone number. That's a hard thing to do in the best of times, never mind when you might be in crisis. And so this effort was underway, and President Trump signed a bill to create 988 into law in 2020. Certainly, 2020 to 2022 was a really tough time for so many people, and really helped move this effort forward much more quickly.
Now, there's a new NAMI Ipsos poll that revealed things about mental health needs. What did you take from that poll?
Yeah, what we learned in this poll from the summer is that a lot of Americans are looking for help. They don't know where to find it. And that far too many Americans, nearly 30%, or 37% are having thoughts of suicide, and about 30% say they've ever been in a mental health crisis. That's a huge number of people who are struggling or who have struggled in the past and could benefit from a resource like 988.
Is there any common denominator regarding the number being so high? Is it job issues? Is it personal? You know, what accounts for that number to be so high?
You know, it's so many things that impact a person's mental health. And usually it's a combination of factors and not just one thing. We do know that financial stress and insecurity can contribute to poor mental health, and that a lot of people are worried about the economy right now and finances. We also know world events or natural disasters or changes in your family and in your personal life. All of those things have a ripple effect and can contribute to how you're doing. And what I want people to walk away is knowing that no matter what they're facing, whether they might think it's big or small, it's reason enough to reach out to 988.
I think it's just a matter of letting them know that they're not alone. And
exactly.
They're keeping all this inside them, thinking they're the only one and nobody can understand. But there are people out there that can understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what 988 is all about. A compassionate person on the other end of the phone and somebody to help when you need it most.
When should people reach out to 988, either for themselves or possibly someone they know?
I hope people reach out as early as possible. We know with, if somebody's facing mental health challenges, the earlier you talk to somebody, the earlier you get connected to care, the better it's going to be. And we really want people to get on a path to wellness and be able to get the support. So you can reach out anytime. Again, you know, whatever reason you have for calling 988, that's reason enough. But whether you are in a crisis right now or fear that your mental health might be worsening, any challenge that is happening in your life is worth reaching out to 988. And it's really important for people to know that they can reach out on behalf of somebody else too. If you're worried about somebody, 988 is there to offer guidance and resources.
Now, Hannah, do people still have a certain stigma about this, about mental health? Is that getting a little bit better? Because, you know, that seems to be a lot of the issue. I can't reveal this. What is that? What are people going to think about me?
Yeah, for so long, you know, having a mental health condition was looked at as a weakness or a character flaw. And fortunately, that conversation is changing a lot. And people realize that we all have mental health, and sometimes that mental health is better and sometimes that's worse. Mental health conditions are a real illness and something that we need to take care of, just as we need to do with physical health conditions. So there's definitely been a lot more openness to talking about it. And I think COVID, the pandemic, certainly opened up those conversations because so many people felt symptoms of anxiety or depression during that time. It really helped more people understand what folks have been facing for so many years and had to do so in silence.
Hannah, anything else you'd like to bring up regarding the 988 line or anything regarding mental health we may not have covered?
Yeah, I just want people to know that you can reach 988 by call, text, or chat at 988lifeline.org. And if you have more questions and want to know more, you can go to NAMI, www.hannahwieselowski.org/988 to get more information.
Okay. Hannah Wieselowski, the Chief Advocacy Officer for the National Alliance on Mental Health, talking about the 988 line. And I appreciate you joining us and sharing this information with us here on Special Edition.
Thank you so much.
Next up on Special Edition, I'll speak with Jessica Britton and Alicia Hoffman-Mirlovich from In This Together Northeast PA and Action Together Northeast PA on their political activism efforts for the midterm election cycle. It's all coming up when Special Edition continues. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guests are Jessica Britton and Alicia Hoffman-Mirlovich, Organizing and Executive Directors of Action Together Northeast PA and In This Together Northeast PA. Been a pretty busy for you two ladies. Tell us what you're working on right now.
Yeah, so we're working on a wide variety of campaigns, as always. Action Together is a grassroots advocacy organization, and In This Together is a community building and civic engagement organization. So there's never a shortage of work to do in either of those realms. I can hand it to Alicia to talk a little bit more about Action Together's work to get us started.
So we are doing a lot of advocacy work right now, working to fight for the things that families need most to get by. Affordable healthcare, making sure that people can afford their groceries, gas, utilities, housing, things like that. And a few ways that we are doing that is we are working on a campaign to ban insider trading. We're also working with SEIU Healthcare to ask for affordable care in Pennsylvania and make sure that we are freezing healthcare costs. And we're also working to make sure that people's voices are heard in all of this along the way of knowing that people are just struggling in their day-to-day lives. One of the ways that we do this is by calling out-of-touch rich politicians who are making a personal profit on their elected offices, especially at a time where folks across NEPA are definitely struggling. And what I will say is, like, that is why we have proposed a referendum to the Home Rule Charters in both Luzerne and Lackawanna counties to ban insider stock trading. We were able to submit over 40,000 signatures across Lackawanna and Luzerne counties, more than double the requirement to get on the ballot to change those home rule charters. Something that we're very proud of. And now the next step is to get folks to vote yes in November to change these home rule charters that would prohibit insider trading, but it would also enhance transparency around a stock trades and profit made based on insider information by politicians.
This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. Guests are Jessica Britton and Alicia Hoffman-Mirlovich from Action Together and In This Together Northeast PA. You mentioned about the ballot question that you may be able to get 40,000 signatures. Is this definitely going to be on the ballots, or do both counties have to do some vetting regarding the nature of the signatures?
So we are on both ballots for the fall.
Okay.
Everything was approved by the boards of elections in those respective counties. We had gotten past the challenge period with no challenges, likely because it was doubled the number of signatures required in both counties. But the questions will be on the ballot in November, and we will be running a Vote Yes campaign next and making sure that folks are voting to ban insider stock trading.
Now, recently, your organization had a bus trip between Northeast PA and arriving at Geisinger headquarters in Danville. Tell me how that went as far as questioning the health care system.
So the caravan was part of our campaign, Affordable Care for NEPA with SEIU Healthcare. And we were able to get about 20 to 25 cars to create a caravan that went from Scranton to Wilkes-Barre, Wilkes-Barre to Hazleton, and Hazleton to Danville. What we did along the way was we stopped at individual healthcare providers and insurance companies. And part of this campaign is really, it's a campaign to freeze healthcare costs in NEPA. We are just asking that it is acknowledge that prices are, let's not put it on premiums that individuals have to pay monthly. Find other ways so that we don't have to pay additional for our healthcare costs, especially at a time where people are trying to make ends meet. And we also know that corporate executives are making millions. Geisinger is one of these. And we wanted to make sure that they were not pushing additional costs on individual folks. So we had many folks, hundreds of folks across NEPA, a petition that we then delivered as well at each one of these locations to these insurance providers that cover us in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Now, in your travels, I would assume healthcare would be, if not at the top of the list, but if not pretty close to the top of the list on concerns that voters have and will have with coming up with the November elections. What else other besides healthcare do you see being some of the top items that people want to have taken care of? What are their expectations for the fall, I guess I should say?
I would say that the number one issue, regardless, is just general affordability. Folks are finding it harder and harder to make ends meet. They are also, they're making tough choices between, do I pick up this prescription? Do I fill my car with gas? How do I pay for groceries versus my utility bills? So I think that that is going to be one of the biggest things on folks' minds as they are going to the polls to vote in November.
Now, you have a couple of events coming up. One upcoming on Sunday, September 6th, the 5th annual NEPAQ. And tell us about that.
So In This Together, NEPA, which is the affiliate 501c3 organization of Action Together, NEPA, every year holds their annual NEPAQ. And it is basically a barbecue to celebrate organized labor. We have it the Sunday before Labor Day every year. And we just invite folks to come. We have free food, music, there's kids' games and activities. There are other activities available for folks because we have it at Kirby Park. We also have a chili cook-off where anyone can enter, and the attendees are the ones that vote on the best chili. We this year have a cupcake contest where people can enter, and we have some local judges that will come in and judge for the best cupcake, and we then provide prizes for those. And really, it's just a fun time for the community to come together to enjoy Labor Day weekend and celebrate what it's about, which is about organized labor and those labor unions in our region.
And a little bit later on in the year, you've got a thing called the Northeast Poll, a free holiday shop to support families in need. That's going to start right before Christmas.
Yes. So last year, for the first year, because of we started to see issues with affordability and more folks saying that they didn't think they would be able to get gifts for their children, we accepted new and then gently used toys and books. We did not expect the demand to be as high as it was. We had hoped to help a lot more families than we did, but we supported almost 100 families that came in, and we were wiped out within the first hour for the first day. So we actually scrambled so that the second day we could have more for folks. So we will be looking forward to yet again collecting gently used toys and books, as well as new and then also monetary donations to buy more toys and the sort, just to help the community, and especially during a need to make sure that a child has something during the holidays to unwrap.
And how can people help you out in this giveaway?
So donations to In This Together NEPA through our website, we will be posting again where people can donate there directly, or they can come to our offices at 30 East Northampton Street and drop off. We will have posts on both of our social medias as well as our website when we start collecting items.
Anything else you want to mention that we may not have touched upon regarding what In This Together NEPA and Action Together NEPA will be doing moving forward.
I will just say that everything that we just talked about really enhances the need to call out some out-of-touch elected officials who don't understand what those struggles are like that Alicia mentioned. So those questions of, am I going to be able to afford groceries this week or just gas? Can I pay my rent? Can I pay my electric bill? Like, those are the things that folks grapple with every single day. Every part of what we've talked about has been like a component of that conversation. So that's where the through line is for a lot of this work and talking about the need to show up in a variety of ways, whether it's showing up at the offices of these healthcare providers where we know those executives are making millions of dollars, whether it's this effort to pass these ballot referendums in Luzerne and Lackawanna counties to enhance that transparency and make sure that there are additional ethics reforms at the local level. So we are really actively working to try to lift up the needs and the concerns of average everyday folks in NEPA, just like all of us, while encouraging folks to make the best decisions that they can at the ballot box, while also just bringing the community together in any way that we can.
All right. Got quite a bit of a way to go before we get to Election Day. Jessica, Alicia, Action Together Northeast PA, In This Together Northeast PA, appreciate you both joining us and sharing this information with us on Special Edition.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
I take care of the kids. And I take care of my dad. I take care of things at work. The groceries. The cleanups. The meltdowns. The doctor's visits. The family events. Mealtimes. Bedtimes. I take care of all the things everyone else needs. But I haven't made time to take care of what I need.
Family caregivers are often overloaded. It can feel overwhelming and exhausting. It's no surprise that millions of caregivers experience symptoms of anxiety and depression every year. But help is available, because there may only be one you, but you don't have to do it alone. Head to mentalhealthcareworks.org. That's mentalhealthcareworks.org to learn how to get the support you deserve, because mental health care works when you make the call. If you're experiencing a mental health crisis or thoughts of suicide, dial 988. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This year, over 50,000 law enforcement officers have been assaulted while on duty.
It could have been it for me.
I'm Mike Solon. Law enforcement officers need your support. If you see an officer under attack, then follow these simple steps in order to help. 1. Call 911 and give the officer's exact location. 2. Ask the officer if you can assist. If the officer accepts, then do whatever you can do to safely help. 3. If the officer declines, then start filming. It's time to stop filming and start helping.
Thank you for joining us this week on Special Edition. Special Edition is a weekly public affairs presentation of Odyssey Wilkes-Barre. I'm Brian Hughes. Thanks again for listening.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.